Bible that we had at Mulberry Grove this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. The Lord really worked in a powerful way through that, and so we're so thankful for the opportunity to join together with another church and pray and seek the Lord for revival in our hearts. Today I'm kind of have mixed emotions. I'm a little sad and I'm a little bit joyful. I know this is going to be the last time I look at Wyatt out here for quite a while. And I'm sure some of you who are sending your kids off to college and are feeling the same thing. There's sadness about them leaving, but there's joy in what the Lord has for them in the future, this next chapter in their life. And so let's go to the Lord again as we just ask Him to prepare our hearts for His Word. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we don't take for granted, Lord, that we hold Your words in our hands. The Word of Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. Your Word that is without error, it's powerful and living and knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Lord, we know that Your Holy Spirit uses Your Word to change us from the inside out, to bring conviction into our lives. And Father, we ask You this morning that You would have Your way in us. That Your Word would work powerfully in each one of our lives, meeting us wherever we are in our walk with You, and showing us the way, leading us according to Your ways, Your Word. Be with us as we study Your Word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in front of you. And I think it has a bookmark in it as well. So if you don't know where 2 Peter is, toward the end of the New Testament there. If you were to describe our world, what would you say? I mean, we could talk about its beauty. We could talk about the beautiful stars that we see in the sky, the oceans, the mountains, the forests, the flowers, all the beautiful sunsets that are different each day, different peoples around the world. There are many other things that we see in nature. In fact, those things remind us of the one true God, the one who created all of it for us to enjoy. But it may be that your description focuses more on what we see on a human level, the depravity of mankind that was brought about when sin entered the world. We may choose to describe the brokenness that every human being feels at some point in time in their life, sometimes over and over. The disease, the sickness, the injustice and corruption, the immorality of mankind, the poverty and hunger, the pain that we experience sometimes in death, that we all experience at some point in our lives. The world has been destroyed by sin. It is under the sway of the evil one and it is in rebellion against God. I mean, we know that the world is a dark place. Even if we choose not to think about it, we're reminded almost every day. But we could also talk about how God has used His powerful church over the last couple thousand years to impact the world, to be a light in the midst of this darkness, in order to spread the knowledge of His glory over the face of the earth as the waters cover the sea. You see that in Habakkuk 2:14. What a wonderful image of, like the waters cover the sea, the knowledge of His glory is spreading and saturating every single crevice of this world. From the small group of disciples in Israel, God multiplied His disciples over the entire world. We all know that God has given us, His children, a part to play in His plan to save the world. We know what God expects of His children, right? Don't we? He expects us to share the gospel, to make disciples, right? That's His commission. That's His mission for the church. But a very important part of that task is living a holy life so that what we preach actually lines up with how we live. The world desperately, desperately needs to see Christ in us. In a sinful world, the sinful world that we live in, as God's children, we should stand out like a lighthouse on a dark night. Should be no mistake who are children of God and who are not. The Bible clarifies and says who are children of God and who are children of the devil. This is very important. This is a very important part of our witness. This plays a very important part in God's redemptive plan to save people. This also means that in order for us to be a light, this light that God is creating us to be, we can't hide it under a basket, as Jesus has said. Meaning, if we don't make relationships with those who don't know Christ, how will our light shine? Who will see it? Who then will be impacted by our holiness? Who will hear the good news of Jesus Christ? So I give you this question. I want you to think about this as we walk through this passage together. It's just two verses. What is different about you in the way of holiness? What is different about you in the way of holiness? Holiness is not something we can just muster up in our human strength. We can't just create that out of our human nature. The power to be holy is given to us only by God. Let's take a look at what God has given us in the way of power. We actually have divine power. We've been given divine power. Look there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. One of the many blessings of being a child of God is that we have power from Him. At some point, God stepped into your life and He drew you to Himself, right? Could have been through a circumstance, could have been through a hard trial in your life, could have been from coming to the end of yourself. But at some point, He stepped in, He drew you to Himself, He placed someone in your life to share the good news about Jesus Christ with you. You heard that message. You believed what Jesus did for you on the cross, that He rose from the grave. You turned from your old life and you put your faith in Christ. You entrusted your life to Him. And at that moment, God saved you. In other words, He forgave all your sin and He gave you eternal life. He adopted you as His own child. He gave you the reward at the beginning. The reward of this life in Christ, He gave it to you at the beginning. But the best, the most amazing thing is that God came to live in you. God the Holy Spirit came to live in you. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14, we read this quite often. I love this passage because it says, "In Him you also," He's talking about us, "when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it." If that's not good news, I don't know what is. At that moment of salvation, you were filled with divine power. He came to live in you, the Creator of the universe. The Bible says that followers of Christ are now a temple of the Holy Spirit. No longer is God's holy presence hidden behind a curtain in an Old Testament temple. It's in us. I want you to turn with me. You can save your place there in 2 Peter, but turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to follow along in these two verses, verses 16 and 17. Because He's kind of asking us a question. He wants us to make sure we know this truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17 states this. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple." That's a miraculous statement. That's, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is what makes us so different than the rest of the world. It makes us different from every other religion. All religions have a list of rules and hurdles you got to jump through and which you have to somehow obtain in your own strength. They live by the works of the flesh and always falling short of perfection. I listened to the rules. I studied the rules of other religions, and I asked many times, "So, who has attained that? Has anybody met that perfection? Has anybody lived by that goal or that law? No. No. Nobody. Anyone who has lived any amount of time in life knows that our flesh is weak, that our human nature gets the best of us all the time. You see, God understands this. He created you. He knows how sin has corrupted our bodies. He knows the temptations that we face in the world around us. He knows that we are weak in the flesh and cannot obey Him perfectly. God knows this. More than anyone else, He knows this about mankind. And that's why He came Himself, to make a way for us to have life, so that we could overcome our sinful behavior by the power of His divine power, so that we could actually live an abundant life here on earth, that we could actually be godly people, holy people. Now, as God's child, He has given you everything, He's given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness, as He says here in this verse. When a normal baby is born, he is born with all the equipment he needs for life. He only needs to grow. The same goes for those who are born of God. They are born with everything needed for life and godliness. They only need to grow. Nothing needs to be added. The false teachers of Peter's day were telling his readers that they had this special doctrine that would add something special to their lives. They needed this in order to live this the life of fullness. It was Jesus plus something else. Peter knew, as we do today, that nothing needs to be added because God in Christ has given us everything. He's given us the divine power we need for life and godliness. We have everything we need for eternal life. We have everything we need to grow in the Lord and become spiritually mature. We have everything we need to walk according to His Word and be involved in His mission. Everything we need to live a holy life. When we spend time with Christ in His Word, He refuels us with His divine power. And therefore revives our hearts and renews our minds. It's kind of like your phone, right? Nighttime, you don't want to forget to plug up your phone, right? Because you want to make sure that it has all the power it needs to last throughout the day. Sometimes we even carry our cords with us just to make sure. Maybe a battery backup, just to make sure that our phone doesn't run out of power. It's a big deal. We want to make sure that that phone doesn't lose power. We need it. But do we do this? Do we put the same importance on spending time with our Heavenly Father, drawing from His divine power in order to be faithful to Him every day, in order to be holy in our conduct and our lifestyle? We have access to God's divine power. Divine power. And it doesn't take very much for us to imagine. I mean, we read through Scripture, but just to imagine how powerful God is. We only have to look back to the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1. He spoke it all into creation. He spoke it into creation. How powerful is that? I mean, if His divine power can create everything from nothing, His divine power can surely make us holy. Surely it can. But holiness goes against our human nature. Holiness requires that we surrender to the Lord's ways, obey His Word. It means that we have to die to self every day and take up our cross just as Jesus told us to do. And it's not easy. But it's what God expects of us. It's the part that He's playing in our lives to sanctify us. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16 states this. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. This is what it means to follow Christ. If you're wondering, is this part of following Christ? We are His holy people. We are set apart for His kingdom work. You see that in 1 Peter 2:9. We're His holy nation. Not only has God given us divine power to live a holy life, but He has also given us His divine nature. We have been given divine nature. Look there at verse 4. By which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. The moment that God the Holy Spirit came to live in you, you were not only filled with divine power, you were filled with God's divine nature. See, as children of God, we are partakers of His divine nature. Now think about God's nature. He's perfectly holy, perfectly righteous. His love is unconditional and sacrificial. We see that on the cross when He came to die for us. He's patient with us. We see that in our lives. He's gracious. We don't deserve it. That unmerited favor, something we can't even imagine. He's gracious. He's set apart from everything else in this universe. And by His presence in our lives, His nature is now in us. You see, God the Holy Spirit uses His great promises, as He talks about here in verse 4, that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. God the Holy Spirit uses the powerful Word of God to develop in us this divine nature. See, as we study and we meditate on His Word, the Holy Spirit uses His Word to change our lives from the inside out. He develops in us a life of godliness and holiness. This new nature changes everything. That's why we always talk about abiding. There's never a day you don't need to be in God's Word. There's never a day that you don't need to spend time with God, drawing from the source of everything you need. There is never a day that we should not be with God, spending time with Him. This new nature changes everything. This is what we don't quite understand sometimes. Because we know that nature determines appetite. Our nature determines our appetite. When the Bible says we don't live by grace anymore, no longer we live by the, we live by grace, but no longer do we live by the law anymore. It means that God not only gives us the power to merely restrain the desires of the flesh, but He changes our very nature. He gives us new godly ambitions, new godly desires. We don't need the law on the outside to control our appetites because we have the very nature of Christ inside of us, living in us. And it is changing our nature to be like that of His. And therefore, as we partake in His divine nature, we will begin to think like Christ. We will begin to act like Christ. We will begin to speak with love as He did. God has given you His divine power. He has given you His divine nature. He's given you everything you need to live a godly life of holiness. Living by the truth of His Word, daily overcoming your flesh, living in the victory that Christ has given you. We have everything we need. When I think about this divine power and this divine nature, when I think about the power that He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us everything we need for holiness. It brings to mind a story. The story of Daniel and his friends. And when I think of an uncompromising man of God, Daniel always comes to mind. There's just something about Daniel, the circumstance he was in, the predicament he was in, and how he lived life without compromise. I mean, listen to what it says about Daniel in Daniel 1:8. It says, "But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself." Daniel was serious about being faithful to God every day. Daniel and his friends were taken captive by the king of Babylon and made to work as servants. Now, if you think about their circumstances, they were definitely against Daniel. All odds seemed to point to a miserable future of bondage to a pagan king. But even in the midst of a foreign kingdom, he decided in his heart that he would not compromise his beliefs or his relationship with the one true God. He wasn't about to compromise that. Every day he went to his room and he made sure he prayed 3 times a day. That was his normal practice. He was diligent to pray to God every day. He was not going to compromise what he believed. Each time that he made a stand for God, God was with him. empowered him, protected him. When he decided not to eat or drink what the king gave, God made him and his friends healthier than the rest. When he wouldn't bow down to false idols, he closed the mouths of lions. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow down to the king's idol, God was with them in the fiery furnace and protected them from being burned. He saved them. See, in each one of these circumstances, where they made a stand for God, God gave them the strength in their faith to persevere. And He used it for His glory. He used it to spread the knowledge of God throughout the world. I know some of you are going off to college and some have just started school again. Maybe you're going to high school for the first time or just getting back into that. As a follower of Christ, it may seem that you are the only one who believes the truth about God. That's possible. Right here at Buckingham, definitely possible. Any college you go to. It might seem that you're the only one who believes the truth about God, who follows His way. It may seem that everyone around you is going the opposite direction. It may be that you are left standing alone, highlighted for your faith in Christ, and even persecuted for what you believe. Some of you might feel that way at your workplace. Like you're the only one. Praise the Lord that there is one in that dark place. I want to remind you that you are not the first and you will not be the last to face that kind of treatment. Daniel and his friends, they lived a life of godliness. They stood up for God's truth. They weren't willing to compromise. God was with them. Jesus gave us this word. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus as He talks to us, His followers. This is what He says in Matthew chapter 5, 11 and 12. He says, "Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is part of being a follower of Christ in a broken and corrupted world, corrupted by sin. This is part of being a follower of Christ in this broken world, living out your life, being faithful to God every day. I want to remind you that God is with you and He never, ever leaves you. Matthew 28, 20 says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus says, "I am with you." His presence lives in you. He is watching over you. He's leading you. He's making straight paths for your future. He's helping you walk in the works that He prepared before you were born. He created those things for you to walk in. He's right there in the midst of every circumstance, every trial. Doesn't matter if you're going to school, doesn't matter where you are. This is the same for all of us. We have everything we need in divine holiness and divine nature. And besides that, God is right here with us. He's right here in the midst of our lives, helping us live this holy life. I want to remind you that in the midst of about 2 million people, other than Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, were the only ones who believed God's truth and were willing to follow Him. They were going to stone them. God's presence overwhelmed them, protected them from that. Just like Joshua and Caleb, you are following God's lead as you take this next step in your new chapter of life. Everyone else was focused on how hard it was going to be, how many giants they would face, but Joshua and Caleb kept their focus on God. Whether you're going to school or whether you're at your workplace, you need to keep your focus on God and what He promises us. Everyone around them, can you imagine? Everyone else is like, "We're going this way. What in the world's wrong with you two? I mean, get with the program. Hey, you need to get in line with us. We're going this. What are you talking about?" Have you ever felt that way at your workplace when you talk about Jesus? You say something about God's creation. Maybe you're at high school. You're the only one in the lunchroom praying for your meal. Have you ever felt that way? Joshua and Caleb kept their focus on God. And just as God told Joshua, He's telling you through His Word, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey My Word. He goes on to say, don't neglect My Word. Spend time with Me and I will give you success and make you prosper. Don't forget these words from God. Don't be dismayed by what is going on in the world around us. Don't be dismayed by what everyone else is doing, what everybody else is saying, what everybody else believes. Here is our opportunity as we see our culture and our nation crumbling before us. This is our opportunity to stand and be holy before God, holy before our people around us, and proclaim the truth of what makes us holy. Proclaim the truth of what has changed our lives. This is our opportunity. The world is falling all around us, and historically, this is what happens before a great awakening. This is what happens before God steps into our lives, into the life of the church, and He just blows things up. He revives us. We have an opportunity, a great opportunity. And this goes for all of us, whether you're starting a new chapter or just living life. God has given you all the divine power, all the divine nature that you need to live a holy life in the midst of a perverse world, in the midst of temptations, in the midst of man's philosophies, in the midst of spiritual warfare, and even in the midst of opposition. You have all you need to make a stand for Christ, to live a holy life, the holy life that He expects of you, the witness that He expects of you. Don't hide it under a basket. The world needs to see it. They need to see the holiness of God in you. It always goes well for those who put their trust in God. We see it throughout the Bible. It doesn't go well for those who do not trust in God. And we know that's going to be the end. We look at Revelation. We looked at it this morning. We want to be on God's side. Amen? We want to stand with Christ when the end comes. And we want to stand for Him right now. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who will be against us? Those who don't know Christ desperately need us to stand strong in our faith and be God's holy ambassador. See, it's not all about us. It's about God using us to reach a lost and dying world. If you, God's light, is hidden under a basket, how will the lost benefit from God's holiness in you? How will they hear? How will they believe? We'll finish with that question to ponder on. What is different about you in the way of holiness? As the worship team comes, what is different about you in the way of holiness? God's divine power is in you. You have access to it. God's divine nature, He wants to create in you through the Word of God. We only need to spend time with Him, build on our relationship. We only need to grow. You have everything you need to be holy. I know it fights against our flesh, but I want you to listen to the voice of God this morning. Submit to the changes that He's speaking to you about in your life right now. Let God have His way in your life. Let Him have His way. And just see. Just see what those wonderful works are that God has created you for you before you were born. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ears heard. It hasn't entered into the heart of man the things that God has for those who love Him. 1 John says, for the love of God is to obey His Word. Listen to what the Spirit's saying this morning to you individually. Don't think about anybody else. Don't think about who's not here. This Word is for you. It's for me. What is God saying this morning? Spend some time with Him as we sing this last song.